It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today as we've come together to study God's precious Word. And we're in the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 22. We're going to begin reading with the 16th verse and read to the end of the chapter and plan to finish that today. And so I hope that you can join us through the full study. And while you're looking that up at Exodus chapter 22, verse 16, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. And again, I'm sure glad that you've joined us and hope that you enjoy it and learn the program. Again, the introduction is, it's time to come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. So whichever the case may be today in your life, if you need to be born again, I hope today would be the day that you'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the cross of Calvary and trust in His death, burial, and resurrection, and believe in Him today and begin that wonderful personal relationship that you need to have. And if you know Him, I hope that this will help you to grow today. And again, Exodus chapter 22, verse 16. If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and thy cry at all unto me, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give to me, and ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. That ends the chapter of chapter 22. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I'm sure glad, dear Father, of all that have joined us. Please that they will learn of you and grow, come to know you and come to grow in you. And please today that this study, as we look through the laws, the ordinances that you have given to the nation of Israel, if they would live by those rules and those laws, they would still be in the land. They would have full possession of the land. We would still be looking towards Jerusalem to know you. We would need to know the God of Israel. But instead of that, dear Father, we know that they have rejected you and turned away from you. And because of that, dear Father, because of that, they have been cast out of the land and have been at war with all the world ever since. And we know, dear Father, that the world hates you, and so it also hates your chosen people, which is the Jews, the nation of Israel. I just pray, dear Father, that this land and this nation never forsake you and never forsake the land of Israel and the Jews. Please, dear Lord, that we support them and stand behind them and you. And I apologize, dear Father, for this land and the government of this land in many times when we have made decisions that is contrary to your word. And please that you will show mercy upon us. I ask that this land, that you bring this land to a time of repentance, these people, that they will know you and walk with you and praise you and honor you. Help us all to listen to these words today as we enjoy them. And guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin, as we have just went step by step through this these chapters and verses, as we find our way through this wonderful book of Exodus. I hope that you're learning. I hope that you're growing. We're going to find some things out today that have really went by the wayside and as far as what they should be and where they should be, we should be living and the way we should be living. The first one here that we list is, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. He had a responsibility. And it's not that, today, why it is so common to live with someone for a period of time, and they say, we'll see if we're compatible, and then we'll know, and then we'll make the commitment. No, you make the commitment first. And here, if this was taken care of, and if a man enticed a woman, or today, why it can sure be either direction. And that the man or that woman, but if they lie with each other, if that takes place without a question, then they are to get married. Get married, not just live together, but get married. But the father, if you'll notice, the father has some authority here, because he might know that this man that has done this to his daughter is not worthy of caring for her or taking care of her, then he can make the decision that, no, you're not going to marry my daughter, but you will pay. You'll pay for what you have done. And it, again, as we've talked about in the past, it's judgment, it's justice, it's the proper justice for the action that was taken. And here, that man is responsible one time. It doesn't say that there was a baby. It says that if he laid with her, then he was responsible, and he would have to marry her. And he would have to marry her. The father's the only one that could change that. Not the daughter, the father. The father had that responsibility, and he would look to the daughter. He would look to this man and see if he was of the a character that he would take care of her, and then he was given that responsibility and was to marry her. If not, then he had to pay and pay the proper price. And verse 17 says, if her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Now we come to verse 18. Verse 18 today, why we have witchcraft, we have devil worship, we have many things like that. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's pretty clear. You'll notice, and I just as well say it right up front here, we are a land that we're being taught tolerance. We are to be tolerant. We are to see somebody else's point of view, someone else's lifestyle. We're to look at that, and we can, maybe we don't like it, maybe it's not for us, but it's okay. Well, when that is allowed, we see that it will continue to grow. And here, with witches, the worship of the evil spirits, and that's what a witch is. She is a worshiper of the devil. And so when you have that, there was no question. It was listed here clearly to the nation of Israel, kill her, put her to death. In other words, we're back to the same thing, though. It's not an individual to carry that out. If you would see and determine that this person is a witch and confesses to be a witch, it's not your place. But it was the government's place. It was the government's place. And oh, today, why, that would... We sure couldn't do that. I'm not being tolerant. I am not allowing their point of view to be seen. Well, this is all placed for the nation of Israel, but God knew what was good for the nation of Israel. And if there was a witch present, the only kind of witch that's a good witch is a dead witch. And that's the way God looked at it, and that's what he says here very clearly. We find, too, because man is so perverted, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. God never intended that kind of filth to go on. And if a man was caught in that action, or I suppose a woman, he was put to death. The man or the woman would be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. He shall be put to death. Once again, this word tolerance today, we are to look at everything and find the good in it and go from there. We're not seeing that level of tolerance here when God speaks to his people. And we should not tolerate evil. And yet each one of these is evil, and God recognizes and acknowledges the evil, and it must be destroyed, because if evil is not destroyed, it will continue as leaven to take the whole loaf. And that's exactly what's happening to this land today. It's what's happened to the world. Is that the evil has been allowed to continue. And whether it be the homosexuals, whether it be the kind of judgment that's been handed down and a criminal can go free, we have eliminated the death penalty in most states now because that's just not proper to do. And God knew what he was talking about, and God has set these rules down. And at one time, our land was set up on these rules. And this land, and that's the reason that so many hate the United States of America, because it is God started, God beginning. Now, we've got a lot of evil people that have tried and attempt to take that away, and they have. They have just little bit by little bit, they have pulled away the presence of God and the power of God out of this land, out of the churches. There's going to be a time that I cannot preach God's word anymore because I will be the evil of the world today, because I am not caring for these poor folks that live perverted lives. God made it very clear of what was right and what was wrong, and we're to follow after that. And so please look at this here, and again, I'm going to spend a little more time with verse 20. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. If you bring an offering unto Satan, as the Satan worshipers do, if you bring an offering unto, as a witch would bring their offerings and sacrifices, anyone that offers to any other god. Now, that covers everything. That covers Muhammad. That covers all the Eastern gods that have been developed. You know, Egypt, they worshipped the sun god, the moon god, the frog god. They worshipped all those things. And God says, any man that worships someone other than the true God, Jehovah, is put to death. Now, this was a law and a rule to the nation of Israel. This isn't a law to the world. It would be a good law, but it's not to the world. It's to the nation of Israel, because it was God's chosen people, and he wanted them to be holy men unto me, as verse 31 says. And the only way they were going to do that was to worship him, and worship him alone. Worship him only. Remember when the nation of Israel goes into the promised land. You know, we're coming to there. God's going to make some requirements, some orders, some commands. He's going to tell the people, the nation of Israel, to destroy every man, woman, child, beast, everything in that land when they enter into the land of Canaan. What we know as to be Jerusalem and Judah and the northern kingdom, Israel, and the divided kingdom, that region today that is so much in a turmoil, wars and fightings, that wouldn't be existing today because God would be fighting their war. But the nation of Israel have decided to turn against their God, just as all the world has. And so God had to set them aside. But he told them at the time, because they were idol worshipers in the land of Canaan, and he wanted it rid of it. And we should do the same thing in our lives. We should rid our lives of those idols that we worship. We should only bow down to our God and serve him and praise him. But they're told here of the nation of Israel, if you don't, you'll be put to death. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger or oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So even a foreigner, a stranger that comes into the land of Israel, was to be accepted, but they would be accepted and be expected to keep the rules of the nation of Israel, keep the rules of God, keep the ordinances and the laws of God. They were expected to do that. And so, but you were to greet them and be kind to them. You were not to treat them in some mean way, because you too were a stranger in Egypt. And when you went down into Egypt, you should be very thankful that Joseph knew the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh showed kindness to Joseph and in turn to Joseph's family. And at that time, when you were a stranger, now it went into a time of slavery at the end because of the wickedness of Pharaoh. And the scripture tells us Pharaoh no longer knew the God of Joseph, was not remembered. And that's when things begin to fall apart. Well, today, in this land, when we continue to forget the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, when we forget him, when we begin to move away from him, slavery moves in. There's a lot of different means of slavery, of bondage. But that's what sin will do to you. And the more we walk away from our God, the greater the sin becomes. And the greater the sin becomes, the more the bondage is present. And the greater the bondage, the more the depression, and more the need for drugs and alcohol and all the things of this land to try to take reality away from us, because we have left our God. We need to look at these rules and commands given to the nation of Israel, but they are great truths, and truths that we should be following. We continue now in verse 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. You don't bring any kind of extra burden onto a widow or children that are orphans. You're to care for them. Do not afflict them in any way. Do not bring any extra harm to them. If you do, if thou afflict them in any way, they cry at all, if they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword. And look what the next part of that verse. The next sentence tells us the remainder of that sentence. Your wives shall be widows, and your children will be fatherless. Does God have a caring, loving heart? Yes, he does. Does he care for the widows and the fatherless? Yes, he does. And if anyone brings harm to them, and they cry unto him. Now, you see, we're back to the level of a widow indeed. In the church today, it seems that we have become the caretaker of the world. God's very clear that those that seek him, we are to care for. If we have a widow or someone that has no father, and they are in the church, they are here faithful unto God, serving God in whatever capacity they can, whether it be financially or in work that they can do, and maybe that's very, very little, but their heart and their desire is there. That is who the church is to care for. And so as we look here, if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me. They don't just cry and weep and complain to all the world, but they call unto God himself. I'll hear them. And you will pay. You will pay with your life. That's how much that he cares for them. But make the connection with believers. We're not to be handing out. Now and then folks will come by. They'll want some money. They'll need some help with something or other that they have. Most of the time it's not local people. It's somebody that's traveling through. They make all kinds of promises, you know, I'll be back. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'll pay this money back to you. We need this. We need that. Never see them again. It is not our responsibility. Now, we come up here with strangers, with foreigners. People are coming in, and there's a lot of folks that need a lot of help. But we need to see why they need. Are they godly people? Are they people that are seeking God's will? Or are they just, the money was used up for booze and cigarettes and drugs, and now I've lost my home, I've lost my everything, and now I have nothing? Was it self-inflicted? Have they repented? Have they come unto God for repentance? And are they seeking God's will, and are they trying to serve God and praise God? If they're not, let them find their own help. It's not our place to do that. Our place is to help those that are seeking the will of God. And so please remember that and see that. And again, if I hear their cry, my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. The hand of God, the judgment of God, comes again now to folks that have need. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee. Now, we're not going to read a lot into that by thee. In other words, was there something that has taken place here, and now they have lost their farm, they have lost their means of doing raising money to feed their family and caring for their family? And is it because of something that you did, and now they need money to live? When you lend them money, you don't charge them interest, and you don't hound them to pay that money back. They need to pay it back. They need to be responsible. But don't take advantage of the situation, whatever it might be. You too may someday be in that same situation. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. No interest, and don't hound him. Don't hound him. He will pay when he can pay. God has blessed you with extra. Be willing to share, to help those. And again, we're talking about the nation of Israel here, but these principles can sure be used today within the church. This was a nation, God's chosen people. We are God's bride, the church, and we should think the same way. We should help the same way. We should not hoard and put it all on the bank and have someone here that is in great need. And, well, I can't do that because I may need it tomorrow. Well, we're to be good stewards and see that we are. We come next to, if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge. It seems as though if we're almost taking the shirt right off of his back. And if we do, for whatever reason, if they need something and they have given that as their collateral, so to speak, see that you get it back to them before the day's done. They need that. And God's going to protect those. I will hear, for I am gracious, he says, if they cry unto me. Don't miss that part. He hears them cry unto him. They're calling upon God himself to help. And that's when we need to be very conscious of our place, our situation, our ability to help, our ability to not bring additional harm and heartache to them. Verse 28, thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people. The gods or the judges there would be a better word. We're not to revile the judges nor curse the rulers of our people. Now, sometimes we find our mouth gets to going complaining about who's in office today. And we have some very, very good people in office. We have some very, very wicked people in office. We're to pray for them. Pray that they seek God's will, that they will turn from their ways and seek his will. But we're not to revile them, nor are we to curse them. Now, that's something that's sure not common today. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat doesn't matter, because if you're a Republican, then the Democrats are the problem. If you're a Democrat, the Republicans are the problem. And we need to pray for them. Be faithful in praying for them. Not condemning them, praying for them. We are to follow the will of God and the way of God. And if the government and our officials put laws in place that are contrary to that, we are required to follow the way of God, not the way of man. We need to remember that. But we need to look here. Thou shalt not revile the judges, nor curse the rulers of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and thy juices, or the juice from those fruits that we have. It is to be given. It is to be given unto the Lord. The first of thy firstborn of thy sons thou shalt give unto me. They were to be circumcised on the eighth day. We find the same thing with the oxen, the sheep. Seventh day it shall be with this dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. God expects us to come before him and present to him what is his. And he requires, and rightly so, deserves our first. And ye shall be a holy man unto me, a holy man unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. God has some wonderful requirements, plans for us, his rules, his ways. We're going to continue now in chapter 23, verse 1. We're going to begin with liars and see what God thinks of liars. He hates them too. So please, as we look through this, know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sin before him and come by faith to him, asking to come into your heart and trust in him. Please today, please come today to him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?